Ida, would you mind turning on the recording now? Yes, I believe we are now recording. Yes. So hello all, good morning and welcome to this info session on student exchanges. My name is Tiina Savela. I work as an international coordinator at the international office. I'm in charge of our bilateral student exchange, so the exchanges which take place outside Europe. And in this session, I will first of all tell you about the practical matters you need to know when you apply for a student exchange. So I will tell you about the application process. I will talk about where you can apply and when you should apply. And after my part, we will have the fun part. So we will have three students who will share their own study abroad experiences with you. And today we have students who have been abroad in Germany, Spain, and Iceland. And their part will begin at about 11. If you have questions, please ask them through the chat. I will try to ask your answer your questions during the session, but I will also stay online after the session so you can ask questions then as well. Okay, let's see if it works, the presentation. So as you probably know, please keep your microphone muted and your camera turned off during the session and ask questions in the chat. And what I would normally do is to show you video about Erasmus Exchange, but I've noticed that if I show you the video, it's about 3 minutes long. I tend to run out of time because we have quite a few topics to talk about today. So what I will do, I will share you the slides. I will put them on our website after this presentation. I will put them there under the news section to the news of this info session. So you can find the slides there later today and you can check out this video. It's a quite nice video. I recommend that you do have a look at it later. So you can find the link from these slides later on our website. But let's go on to the actual presentation. Yes, we can begin with the question why you should apply for a student exchange in the first place. Well, during a student exchange, you will be able to do courses that are not available here at the University of Jyväskylä. So you will be able to broaden your area of expertise during a student exchange. Also, the courses abroad will be in the language of the host country or in English, so your language skills will improve during a student exchange. And you will also be able to develop some new skills during a student exchange, for example, curiosity, problem-solving skills, tolerance, and confidence may improve. But you don't have to believe my word for this. There are actual studies done on this topic. For example, a study by the European Commission from 2014, they found out that students with international experience have better job prospects, receive a higher salary, and are assigned greater professional responsibility. So internationality really does pay off. And how you can apply for a student exchange? You can apply through our exchange programs or independently. And I highly recommend that you apply through our programs because there are a lot of benefits if you do that. We, for example, have familiar host universities which you can apply for. You have a lot less paperwork to be dealt with if you apply through our exchange programs compared to finding a placement independently. You will get help with all the practical issues from us at the international office or from your faculty level international coordinator. So each faculty also has an international coordinator who will help students of that faculty with any questions students may have about the application process, for example. The studies that you will do abroad will be included in your degree here at JYU, so your possible exchange will not delay your graduation from us. If you apply through our programs, you don't have to pay tuition fees at the host university. And as you probably know, the tuition fees can be quite expensive in some countries. If you apply for a placement independently, you would have to take care of everything yourself, be responsible for everything, the whole application process, and most likely you would also have to pay the tuition fees at the host university. So you will save a lot if you apply through our programs. We also have a guaranteed travel grant for all students who apply through our programs. And the amount of the grant depends on where you're going, through which program, and how long your exchange will last. So it varies a bit based on what I just mentioned. And language tests are not always required if you apply through our programs, whereas if you apply independently, most likely you would have to do some sort of language test for the exchange. Oops. Yes. Then where to go? I recommend that you begin the process based on your language skills. So think about the languages that you could study abroad. Is it English or some other language? And then find out where you can study in these languages. If English is your strongest language, you don't necessarily need to go to an English-speaking country for a student exchange. So there are a lot of courses offered in English, for example, in the Nordic countries as well. In the Netherlands, in some European, some Eastern European countries, and then, for example, in Asia, in Hong Kong or South Korea, for example. So think about other countries as well if your strongest language is English. And then you need to think about the field of study. What would you like to study in your host university? Is it your major, your minor? Would you like to study languages or culture-related courses, for example? It's also possible to start to study a new topic, a new subject abroad. And then you actually need to go to the website of the possible host university and see what kind of courses they offer. And based on the courses, you should make your decision on where you should apply. But this will require that you do some detective work yourself. So you actually need to go to the website of the host universities and see what kind of courses they offer and choose the university that offers the best courses for you. And here on the map, you can see the languages of instruction in our host universities or host countries. So as you can see, there's a lot of variety here. Then about the timing. If you are a bachelor's level student, you can go for an exchange anytime after your first year of studies. If you are in a master's program, you can go anytime after your first semester already. But departments and study programs may have their own recommendations on when it's a good time for you to go abroad. So please discuss the timing with your study advisor, for example, or, for example, with the international coordinator of your faculty. You can find their contact information on our website. And please notice that several exchanges are also possible. So you can go for an exchange during your bachelor's studies, then again during your master's, and also during your postgraduate. And when you apply, please notice that the semester dates may vary at the host university compared to ours. So check out the semester dates as well of the host university. For example, if you plan to apply to Japan for a spring semester, their spring semester begins at the end of March or early April, and it will end at the end of July or even early August. So the semester dates vary quite a lot. Just trying to see if there are any questions at the moment. No. Okay, then we can continue. What did I do? Sorry. I'm trying to have the chat here as well. It's a little bit tricky. when you're presenting in Zoom, as you probably know. But yeah, now it's there, so I can also see the chat. And when you go abroad, there will of course be some costs. So you would have to pay your own travel to the host university. You will need to pay your room and board as well. You will, of course, need to have a good insurance, especially during the pandemic. And if required by your host country, you would have to have the residence permit or a visa there. And also, you may have to pay a local student union fee or an orientation fee or fees like this. And a lot of universities abroad, they may not have a similar library system where you can borrow course books. So you may need to buy the books yourself, and that can be quite expensive. And if you are required to pay the tuition fees to JYU, you will be required to pay them also during a student exchange. And there will also be some financing, no finances for a study abroad. If you are eligible for the Finnish study aid, opintotuki, the study grant part of the study aid will be the same as in Finland. The housing supplement will be 210 euros per month, no matter what your rent will be. It's a lump sum for all. The only exception for the housing supplement is that if you're going to a sort of lower rent level country, then it can be a little bit lower than the 210 euros, but otherwise it will be the same. And you will also get the guarantee for student loan from Kela. The student loan part will be 800 euros for studies abroad. So if you count all these together, it'll be a quite good sum, a little bit over 1200, if I remember correctly. So you can pretty much get by anywhere in the world with that sort of sum. And as I also mentioned before, if you apply through our programs, our exchange programs, we will give you a travel grant for your studies abroad. And if you apply through our programs, you don't have to pay the tuition fees at the host university. So you will save quite a lot in those. And if required, you can also apply through for an accessibility grant through us. Then moving on to how you can apply. Well, we have an online application system called the Mobility Online, and you can apply through this Mobility Online system for an exchange. We ask you to attach a certificate of language proficiency to the online application if your language courses are not shown on your JYU transcript. This means that if you plan to do your courses abroad in English, for example, and you have done courses in English at MOBI here at our university, then you don't need to attach anything to the online application. But if you, for example, haven't done any courses in English at MOBI, then you would need to attach some proof of your language skills. That can be a high school diploma showing your English grade, or it can be a language test if you have taken one before, such as the TOEFL or the IELTS. If you have done English courses during your previous studies, it can be your bachelor's transcript, for example, showing your English grade. So if you have done courses in the language that you plan to do courses at your host university, so if you have done these language courses at MOVI and they show in SISU on your transcript, you don't need to attach anything to your online application. But if you haven't done language courses yet, then you need to attach some sort of language certificate to your online application. If you're not sure if you need to attach anything, you're welcome to ask, for example, me, and I can check if everything's okay. Or if you need to attach something, but we will also check your application and then ask you to attach a language certificate if it's missing. And the deadlines divide in a way that during the fall semester, you can apply for universities outside Europe. The application for the first application round to universities outside Europe is the 1st of November. And during the spring, you can apply to Europe, Russia, and we also have an extra application round to non-European sites. Usually this application round ends on the 15th of February, but this year, this spring, the application round for Europe, Russia, and an extra application round to non-European sites will begin on the 1st of February and end exceptionally on the 20th of February. And this application round will be for the academic year 22-23. So you always need to apply during the previous academic year. And this is the link that will take you to the application portal Mobility Online. Just checking if there are any questions. No? Yeah. And when you click to the Mobility Online portal, you will see this sort of image. And here you first need to choose your program, for example, the Erasmus program. I will tell you more about our exchange programs after a few slides. And if you apply through the Erasmus program, you would need to also choose the study area here, which means your faculty. And then you also need to choose the academic year that you're applying for, so 22-23. And then you should click here, show details. And then you can see this sort of website. And over here, you can see the universities that are marked with the green ball. They are open for application at the moment. And if this was in red, it means that they are not available for application at the moment. So after the 1st of February, you will be able to see which universities you can apply for. You cannot see them now if you go to the portal, but you will be able to see them on the 1st of February. So you need to wait for a few more days to see the available placements. But usually they are pretty much the same as the previous academic year. So you can also go there and see what universities were open for application during the academic year 21-22, so this academic year. They are going to be pretty much the same for the 22-23 year as well. But before you go to the actual application by clicking the green ball here, please have a look at these information icons here, because here you can see some information of the university mentioned here. So you can, for example, see the website of the university, and you should go to the website first and see the courses that they offer and see if that university could be a perfect fit for you. So go to their website first, and then you have figured out that you would like to study, for example, or apply to the University of Vienna, for example, then click the green ball here. And then you will get to the online application. You don't necessarily need to fill in this application during the first session. So if you just want to go and have a look at the application and see what we ask in the application, that's perfectly fine. You can go there and then click cancel at the bottom of the application. But this is how you get to the actual application. And I will tell you more about the application in a second, but after you fill in the questions in the application, then you should actually receive an email from the Mobility Online system saying that thank you for applying, but your application is not complete yet. You should then log back in to the Mobility Online and then complete your personal data, meaning your address and your phone number and information like that. And this email sometimes goes to your, directly to junk mail for some reason, especially if you have written down a Gmail or a Hotmail address in your application, then please check your junk mail if you haven't received any emails from the Mobility Online. And after you have completed the personal data, then you have the chance to upload your application attachments to the online application, meaning your language certificates, if you need to attach them. And then your application is complete. As simple as that. And what we look for when we nominate students for a student exchange, probably the most important criteria is the study plan. So think about the courses that you wish to do abroad and compile a realistic study plan in your application. So you actually need to mention the courses by name, which you would like to study abroad. And this is why you need to go to the website of the host university to find out what courses they offer. And also explain why the courses that you wish to do are important or useful for you and for your studies here at the University of Jyväskylä. So the academic motivation is also very important. So we ask for your reasons for applying, and especially think about the academic motivation, why the courses that you plan to do abroad are important for you, important for your studies here at JYU. Are they, for example, relevant for your future career somehow? So think about the academic motivation. That's really important as well. And then we also look at the language skills. So you have to be able to study in the language of the host country or in English. So that's something we will look at in your application. We will also check out your academic achievements. And this means your grades here at JYU and also how fast your studies have progressed. This is relevant, especially if you're applying to very competitive host university. It's not the most important criteria, but we will most likely need to also have a look at your academic achievements. But you don't have to worry about this. If your grades aren't 4s and 5s, don't worry. You will still be able to apply and most likely also get nominated. So the study plan, the academic motivation, and language skills are more important than the academic achievements when you apply for a student exchange. Then we will also have a look at the stage of studies. So if you're a bachelor student, you can go for a student exchange after your first year. And if you're a bachelor's, if you're a master's program student, you can go for an exchange after your first semester. And it's a good idea to write down your answers to the questions in the application, for example, to Word document or some other document, and then copy and paste them to the application from there. Because if the Mobility Online doesn't work, then your hard work with the questions and answers doesn't go to waste. Then a few words about the impact of the pandemic. I so wish that I wouldn't have to mention this to you, but unfortunately we are still facing the pandemic. So exchanges may be postponed or cancelled next academic year as well. Hopefully not, but this might be possible. And studies may be remote, even if you are on site at the host university, and there might be restrictions in the host country, and they might vary depending on the country. And travel restrictions might be in place in the host country or within countries. And quarantine may be possible, and the additional expenses would have to be paid by the student there. And free time activities may be restricted, or activities might be online. So hopefully the pandemic will not affect our exchanges next academic year, but I'm afraid it's possible. Then moving on to the destinations, the study abroad destinations that we have. Here they are on the map. And as you can see, there are destinations all across the world where you can apply for. And here are the programs that we have. To Nordic countries, we have the Nord Plus and the Nord Lys programs. And to Europe, we have the Erasmus Plus program, which is probably the most familiar and also the largest program that we have. And to Russia, you can apply through bilateral exchange. And to Americas, Asia, Africa, and Oceania, you can apply through ICEP and bilateral exchange. And I also mentioned here the internship abroad possibility. So that's also a very good way to internationalize during your studies here at JYU. You can apply for different grants for an internship abroad through the career services of the university. There are, for example, the Erasmus Plus program that has a grant for also an internship abroad. You can apply for our own JYU grant for an internship outside Europe. And then there are some programs outside the university, which you can apply for, such as the EDOFI internship program and the ISEC internship program. So keep that in mind as well, that it's also possible to apply for an internship abroad. But then moving on to the actual programs, let me see if there are any questions. Yeah, I don't see any questions. Hopefully my chat works. First of all, the Erasmus Plus program. This program is available for all students of this university. In the Erasmus program, we have subject-specific placements, which means that each faculty or each subject or department have their own agreements done with certain universities in Europe. And students who study this subject can study it also in these host universities. So for example, if you are a physics student, then you can apply for those Erasmus placements that are available at the Faculty of Mathematics and Science. And also those which mentioned physics in the agreement. Hopefully that makes sense. And there are a lot of available placements in the Erasmus program, so that I'm sure there's suitable placement for all of our students. You can study for a semester or an academic year in the Erasmus program. The scholarship in the Erasmus is 420 euros to 470 euros per month. So it's quite notable scholarship. And the difference there is based on different country categories by the commission. So if you are going to a more expensive country, it's a little bit more, the scholarship. You can apply to a maximum of 3 universities during this application round. You don't have to, you can apply to just one, but you can apply to a maximum of 3 during the same application round. And before I forget, I can also say that you can apply through different programs during the same application round. So you can apply to Erasmus Exchange, to Nord Lys Exchange, and also to Bilateral Exchange if you want to. But you just need to make 3 different applications in the Mobility Online portal if you wish to apply through different programs. But it's possible. But please mention in the application which program and which university is your preference, your first preference. So we will try and nominate you to your first preference, of course. But it's possible to apply through different programs during the same application round. And the application period to Erasmus this year, this spring semester, is the 1st of February to 20th of February. And then about Brexit. So UK is not part of the Erasmus program during the new Erasmus period, which began in 2021. However, the Erasmus funding for 2020 was given for a 3-year period. So Erasmus exchange to the UK is possible until the 31st of May 2023. So for the next academic year, it's still possible to apply for an Erasmus exchange placement in the UK. Then about FORTHEM. You may have heard about FORTHEM before already. So we are, the University of Jyväskylä is a part of the FORTHEM Alliance, and there are 9 universities in this FORTHEM. There's a university from Germany, France, Spain, Latvia, Poland, Italy, and the 2 new additions are from Norway and Romania. And through this FORTHEM Alliance, there are a lot of possibilities for students to internationalize. They have student exchange, short-term mobility, internships, voluntary work projects, multidisciplinary expert teams, and virtual mobility as well. So a lot of opportunities for students. And you can read more about their possibilities on our website. There's the link over here. And FORTHEM also has an exchange period for students of FORTHEM universities called the FORTHEM Campus. It is offered at different FORTHEM universities on a rotating basis, and the next FORTHEM Campus will be in Palermo, Italy, next autumn. And further information about this is coming up this spring, so the application round for the FORTHEM Campus in Palermo, Italy is not open yet, but it will be later this spring. And you can get an Erasmus scholarship for the FORTHEM Campus as well. Then we have the Nord Plus exchange to Nordic countries and also to Baltic countries. And as I mentioned before, there's a lot of courses in English offered in Nordic countries, so you don't necessarily need to know Swedish that well. If you do, great, but you don't necessarily have to. You can study in English as well. In the Nord Plus, there are subject-specific networks similarly to the Erasmus program. And these networks are mentioned here on our website. So you can see if your subject or department is involved in the Nord Plus network. And the scholarship for the Nord Plus program depends on the network. So they can decide themselves what the scholarship amount will be. They are also mentioned on the website. You can apply to a maximum of 2 universities through the Nord Plus program. And the application period will be the same as for the Erasmus and other exchanges. So it will end on the 20th of February. Then if your subject, if your department is not involved in the Nord Plus program, then you can apply to Nordic countries through the Nord Lys program. The scholarship for the Nord Lys program is mentioned here. And through the Nord Lys program, you can also apply to a maximum of 2 universities. And pretty much all the major universities in the Nordic countries are in this program. So you can apply to a lot of Nordic universities through the Nord Lys. And the application period for this program as well will end on the 20th of February. Then moving on to Russia. Yeah, here we go. Let me see the chat again. You are awfully quiet today. No questions in the chat. That's okay. You can ask questions later as well. So to Russia, you can apply through the bilateral exchange. We used to have a program called the First to Russia, but that ended this summer. So now you can apply to Russia through the bilateral exchange. And we have exchange universities in St. Petersburg, Moscow, and Yaroslav. The universities are mentioned here. And the language of instruction is Russia in Herzen State Pedagogical University of Russia and Yaroslav State University. So they are only offer courses in Russian, but in these other universities, you can also study in English. So you don't necessarily need to know Russian that well. I recommend that you you would at least know the basics of Russian anyway, even though the courses will be in English, because it will help with your daily life when you go abroad, if you know at least the basics of Russian. And you can apply to a maximum of 2 universities through the bilateral program during this application round. And the application period is the same, and it will end on the 20th of February. And I see a question, is there a relation between Fordham and Erasmus? Well, yes, there is. So Fordham is also part of the Erasmus program. So it's sort of under the Erasmus umbrella. And the universities that are involved in the Fordham, they are also involved in the Erasmus program. So they are closely linked together. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but yes, there's a relation. And if you apply to a Fordham university, you would get the Erasmus scholarship. So it's sort of the same. Same scholarship for the Fordham and Erasmus. Yeah, the benefits are the same, exactly. And then to exchanges outside Europe. So we have the bilateral exchange program, which I'm in charge of. And these are exchange agreements of the whole university. So they are open for all students of this university. They are not tied to a specific faculty or department. So everyone can apply and everyone can study pretty much all fields of study if the host university has those subjects available. So we have exchange universities in North, Central and South America, Asia and Africa, sometimes in Australia as well, but not this academic year. So the host universities, they vary a bit depending on the year. And now the extra application round will begin on the 1st of February and end on the 20th of February. The first application round is always in the autumn, on the 1st of October until 1st of November. So please check from the application portal when the application round begins on the 1st of February, if you can apply for the fall semester or for the spring semester. This varies a bit depending on the host university and their own application deadlines. So for some universities, some bilateral universities, you can apply for the fall semester and for the spring semester, or for the spring semester only. And this extra application round, we will not have ISEP included in this application round. So you can only apply to bilateral exchange this extra application round if you're interested in applying to a university outside Europe. And these are the bilateral universities which you can apply for during this extra application round. So there are still quite a lot of host universities you can apply for. And these are or will be made available with the green ball in the Mobility Online portal. So you can find them there later as well. I have another promotional video here, but you can check out this video as well later from the slides that we will publish on our website. And then a few words about short-term mobility. So if you are in a situation where you're simply not able to go abroad for a longer period of time, for a full semester or even an academic year, you can apply for short-term mobility as well for 1 to 4 weeks, approximately. We have the Fordham short-term mobility, Nordlys Express exchange in Nordic countries, Nordic Center in India summer courses. I will tell you more about these in the next slides. But then some faculties also have their own grants for short-term mobility, which students can apply for. At least the faculties of IT, humanities and social sciences, and mathematics and science, they have their own grants, which their students can apply for. If a student, for example, wishes to go for summer school somewhere, in Europe, for example, they can apply for their own faculty's short-term mobility grant. You can find the instructions and more information about these on our website. And the application periods for these short-term mobilities vary depending on the program. The fourth them, they also have a short-term mobility option for students. As I mentioned, there are 9 European universities involved in the fourth them. The short-term mobilities are 5 days courses in various fields. There's also a possibility to apply for funding for a 10-day visit or an individual project somewhere in one of these fourth them universities. There are available placements for 5 JYU students per course. Students will receive a travel grant for the short mobility. The application round is to be announced. So at the moment, there are no application rounds going on for them short-term mobilities, but we will announce them on our website when the application round opens. Then we have a Nordic Center in India summer course coming up next summer. This course is about gender and society in contemporary India, and the course will be held in Hyderabad, India, if the pandemic situation allows us to send students to India next summer. We're not sure yet, but hopefully it will be possible. This course is targeted for students who have studied at the university for at least 2 years. So it's not available for first-year students, but you would have to study at JYU for at least 2 years. And it will be next July to August. And our university covers the course fee, which includes tuition of the course and accommodation and meals as well at the host destination. But travel and other costs must be paid by the student taking part in the course. So there will be some expenses for this from the travel. And the application period for the Nordic Center in India course is the same as for the other exchanges. So the deadline will be 20th of February. And the application can be found on our website at the Internationalization and Student Exchange website. And we also have the Nord-Lus Express option for short-term study abroad. It's a 1 to 4 weeks of study, for example, in a summer school in a Nordic country or work placement. And the grants are mentioned here. They can also be found on our website, and the deadline is the same for this as well, the 20th of February. And I have another video here as well, but you can check out that later. Yay, I made it on time. Excellent. Now we have a few questions, a few minutes for questions if you have any at this point. Let's see, one question. How about being interested in a specific country, but the Erasmus program does not have options in one study field? I read that it is possible, but it requires some extra paperwork, but how does it work in reality if it does? Yes, your faculty doesn't offer Erasmus placements in a country that you're interested in going, then you can check out if another faculty has agreements in that country. But then you would need to contact the faculty level international coordinator whose placement that would be and ask if you can study another subject in that host country, in that host university that you're interested in. Sometimes it's possible, but the faculty level international coordinator would have to contact the host university and ask them to make sure that it's possible to study some other subject there. So please contact the faculty level international coordinator first to make sure that it's possible to study another subject there. It will be up to the host university. Sometimes it's possible and sometimes it's not. Just to confirm, Erasmus is the option for UK and Ireland. Yes, at the moment, yes, it is. Okay, so I will be here a few minutes also after the session, so you can ask questions then. But then I could actually give the floor to our student speakers and stop sharing for now. Now, do we have Heta, Jutta, Venni here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Perfect.
Yes, here we are.
Yes, good. And was anyone in a hurry? Who would like to begin?
I would like to begin if that's okay for others.
Yeah, for me it's fine.
Okay, yep. Cool.
Okay, well, go ahead then, Heta. The floor is yours. Do you have something to share?
Yes, I would like to share my screen because I have a few slides to show, mostly pictures.
That's good. They are always welcome.
Yeah. Okay, I hope you can see my screen.
I can see
it. I try to organize a little bit because now there's my video also playing.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult to organize everything when you're presenting.
Okay, no, it's good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Heta, and I'm sharing my experiences of my own Erasmus exchange. And that was, in my case, in Germany, in a city called Kassel, which is kind of in a central Germany in North Hessen state. And I arrived in Germany mid-March last year. And I spent 6 months there. So I came back last September. And the semester wasn't really 6 months. It started, I think, in April, and it ended in my case I think at the end of July. So in Germany, as well as some other places, I know in Austria as well, they don't really have like a spring semester but a summer semester, so the timing is a bit different than here. But yeah, I had time already to Spain, Germany before my actual semester started, which was good, and also after my studies. So I spent basically like a month after the actual studying, still exploring Germany, which was really nice. So the reason why I picked Germany was, well, mostly because just the feeling that I want to go to Germany, if I'm being honest. But also, I wanted to learn some new language. And I think German is a very useful language to know. And I didn't speak German when I went there. I have never studied German in school. So if you're thinking like, if it's possible to go to Germany for exchange a semester or a year without knowing German, apparently it is possible, but I have to say that in Germany they really like to speak German, so it's helpful if you know German. But even if you don't and you find an interesting program that is in English, then you can totally manage it. So I would say so this slide is basically just to say that it's pretty stressful before the actual moving to like arrange everything. There's a lot of paperwork. And I think Germany is probably an easy option. You don't have to do so much. The Erasmus is pretty easy with all the arranging your studies and everything, but still there is of course some things that you have to organize. It can be stressful, but it's not too much. So once you actually arrive to your destination, or at least in my case, I feel like after I arrived to Germany, it was actually pretty easy going. So once you kind of spend some time like trying to figure out some practical things good in advance, you'll be all right when you arrive to your destination. I studied in a University of Kassel, and I did mostly biology studies because that is my I studied biology here in Jyväskylä, and I spent my last semester of bachelor in Germany. I also started learning German when I arrived there, so I participated this German language course that lasted the whole semester. It was really nice because I also got my two best friends from the course. And the whole semester was online because of Corona, obviously. In my case, that wasn't really a problem because my own campus would have been quite far away. So I would have needed to take like a tram that would have taken like 30 minutes every day to go to my campus and back. So I was actually pretty happy to be able to study from home. I also studied a lot like outside. I went to the park what I really loved to do was to just pick some city and travel there. And during the time I was in a train, I would study and then spend some time in the city, go for a lunch, explore the city, then come back. And again, I would study in the train. So in my case, I was in Germany during Corona, but I really tried to find the positive view of Corona, and that was basically enjoying the traveling during the semester. The structure of the semester is a bit different, not much, but basically we have had like a lecture phase, and then at the end of the semester you have something called exam weeks. It can be 1 week or it can be, I don't know, 4 weeks or something. It depends on your courses and the professors. That's the basic structure. In my case, I actually had one written exam and with the German course also, there was an oral exam, but that was in Zoom. And other than that, I had like a seminar courses. So I actually made presentations and that was it. But it of course depends on your courses. I got my accommodation through the student housing. So that was pretty nice. I applied for a single apartment. If I would apply again now, I would probably apply for not a single apartment, but the shared accommodation. But at the time I was preparing going to Germany, it was a pretty difficult time when it comes to Corona. So I thought it would be easier because I knew I will have to be in a quarantine for 10 days when I arrived to Germany. So I was like, okay, it's probably better to have a single apartment if it's possible. And also with everything back then was pretty unsure. There was no vaccination. So I was like, okay, with all this Corona, maybe it's better to have a single apartment. But I think now the situation is much better because of the vaccinations. So I recommend living with other students, maybe if that's possible. And usually it is. So, but luckily in my case, I lived in this building that basically everyone else in the building was also international students. Also, like the whole area actually where I live, like the buildings next to me was full of students and international students indeed. So I was still able to socialize pretty well. And the living in Germany is I would say cheap compared to Finland. So my rent, okay, it was a little bit cheaper for me because I was living in a student housing, but also in general, living in Germany is cheaper than in Finland. And also, like, basically everything, groceries are also cheaper. So that was pretty nice. And yeah, it was actually quite easy to get friends, even with Corona. Yeah, it did affect some things, but not really getting friends, I would say. And the best thing is that for all the people I met during my exchange, I still have some people in my life. So I have already been able to, like, visit and see my friends and, of course, my boyfriend who I met there. So that's pretty cool. And one funny thing is that I also got to know some other students from the University of Jyväskylä, so Finnish girls that were also in Germany at the same time. But we didn't know each other before going to Germany. So the first time we met was in Germany, and we just started talking in this Facebook group that was for everyone who is going abroad. And we were like, oh, we are all going to Germany. We should probably get to know each other. So now we still see each other here in Jyväskylä when we are back from our exchange. Yeah. This slide is just to, like, emphasize that the best thing probably about my exchange was to be able to travel a lot. I wasn't really able to travel other countries because most of the time that I was in Germany was before getting vaccinated, so it was hard. But if you are going to Germany, the nice thing is that there is, well, now when we are hopefully all vaccinated, it's quite easy to visit also other countries because it's in a very good place in Europe. But also, I love to just explore Germany as well, and there is a lot of nice cities to see. Okay, I don't know how long I've been talking, maybe a little bit too much, but this is probably the last slide. I just wanted to summarize that, yeah, it was definitely worth it. And why? Well, it really improved my language skills. So I think with English, maybe it didn't really, like, make my English better, like, with pronunciation and stuff like that, but it definitely helped me to, like, speak English without like being scared I will make mistakes or something. So I don't feel nervous about speaking English at all. It also improved, of course, my German skills because I didn't really have any when I went there, but I did learn quite well. And well, this one is a cliche, but going for a exchange, it really is an opportunity to learn about yourself because you are in a completely different situation, and you actually get to see, like, how you even act in a situation like that. It also really is good for your self-confidence because you're like, okay, I was able to move to completely other country where I didn't know anyone. So yeah, I think it was good for that as well. And of course, I met so many wonderful people in my life and from different cultures. And I love to make trips around Germany, which I already said. And I feel like I got even more interested in internationality. So I applied for being a EU Caris ambassador for University of Jyväskylä during the time that I was in Germany. So I think I probably wouldn't have done that if I didn't go there. And also it really affected, of course, my future planning because right now I'm still studying German here in Jyväskylä. and I am planning to go back as soon as possible. But yeah, there was a lot of reasons why it was definitely worth it, but mostly this. And just if someone is interested going in Germany or even in Kassel, you can of course send email if you want to ask anything. I think I forgot to mention a lot and I still talked maybe too long, but yeah, this was my part. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Heta. Great to hear how your exchange went. And thank you for sharing your email address there as well.
Yeah.
Do we have any questions for Heta at the moment? I don't see any questions in the chat.
Well, I can still be here if later someone wants to ask something.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then we have Jutta at least here.
Yes, I'm
Jutta's here. Jutta's there. Yeah, perfect. So you can go next. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, hi everyone. I'm Jutta and I'm here to tell about my exchange experience. And actually, I'm still here in doing my exchange. I also have some slides, so maybe I share them now. Wait a bit. Okay, can you see them?
Yes, yes, we can. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, here we go. I start here. Okay, so my destination is Barcelona. And at first, I would like to tell something about my university in here. So I study in Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona in Spanish. In English, it's Autonomous University in Barcelona. And this campus, it's not in the center of Barcelona city. It's a bit maybe half an hour or 40 minutes away from the city. But I think it's very nice because it's different landscape than here in city. There's a lot of nature and we like to do a lot of picnics during we study there. In my case, Corona does not affect that much because we can study in present, and that is very nice thing. And it's got a big university. There is also a possibility to live there in villa there's option to do that, but I prefer to live in the city. But I think it's also a nice option, and I think it's a little bit cheaper option to live there than here in the city. So it's good to check out all the options before you decide where you want to live. And then living here in Barcelona, actually, it was quite surprising because it's quite expensive. The rents are quite high in here. Before I came here, I have also kind of Facebook group for the students who came here to Barcelona at the same time. And I met a girl there, and we decided to look apartment together. So maybe that's why it's a bit more expensive. I think those options for the students, like student accommodations, they are a bit cheaper. But if you want to look apartment on your own, it's maybe a little bit expensive. But I really like to live here in the city, and I think I can experience more the city while I'm living here, not in the villa, in the campus. But of course, it's your choice what you like to do. And living in otherwise, it's a little bit cheaper, like food and drinks. When you go to cafe, it's more cheaper here than in if you compare in Finland. And I think here in Barcelona, the Erasmus culture is very strong. There's a lot of organizations for the Erasmus students, and I totally recommend to look out what they offered. For example, different kind of trips or events. It's very easy way you get to know the new people who is in the same situation than you are. So I think that I totally recommend it. And I really fall in love in the city. It's very like, I call it city of possibilities, because there's so many different things you can experience. Here's city and the beach and the mountains. So a lot of options what to do. And the city is very international. In my case, I didn't speak Spanish before I came here. But now I can speak some basics. But mostly I use English here, so it's possible to come here if you don't speak Spanish. But of course, I have noticed that it helps a lot if you speak Spanish, and Spanish people appreciate that a lot if you even try to speak it. So, but you can also use English here because this is a very international city. And yeah, then something why I recommend to go for exchange. Mostly the same things that Heta told before, that I think it's a great opportunity to learn a lot about different cultures. In Spain, you can see a lot of differences if you compare to Finland, because they have different living rhythm. I think it's because of siesta. Even though the siesta doesn't, it's not very strong anymore in here, but you can see some stuff which are due to siesta. My studies are mostly in evening, because here's like day rhythm. It's like you might go to school in the morning, but in the afternoon there's like a couple hours break, and then school continue in the evening. And that was at first when I came here, it felt a bit weird. Then I might have school from 5 to 9 maybe. So it felt a little bit weird to be that late at school, but here is normal. And also Spanish people, I think they have very chill lifestyle here. At first that was also a little bit weird, because I think every lesson, all the Erasmus students from the other countries are always the first ones there, and every Spanish people and also the teachers might come late, but Erasmus students are always on time. And also sometimes if you need to find out something, it might be a little bit hard, because their they are very chill. They are like, yeah, we can find out that tomorrow and don't worry and that. But I think that's very nice. And I, in the end, I like that style of living. And also, of course, new food experiences. And also, of course, you can improve your language skills, which was one of my reasons to why I wanted to came here. You need to take care of everything in English. That's very thoughtful. And also studying in English. In my faculty, there's a lot of options to study in English. There's a lot of courses. I think it depends on faculty, but I had a lot of options, so that was nice. And also, of course, you can learn new languages. In my case, I learned a little bit Spanish. I'm also interested to improve it, maybe later, maybe come back or study it when I go back to Finland. Yeah, I think the best part is that you can get so many new friends and memories all over the world, like international friends. And you learn a lot about yourself. And yeah, there's possibility to travel a lot. So I'm like very happy that I came here, and I totally recommend to go for exchange. Yeah. There's also my email if you want to ask me something. I feel like I forgot to say something. If you have some questions, feel free to ask. That was my experience. I came here on September, and I'm going to be here 1 month. I have one month left, so I come back home on February. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jutta. That's wonderful to hear. Are your exchanges going there?
Yeah. It was fun that I can I can still get a. Did you see my, can you see my screen still or not?
Oh, no.
Okay, good. Yeah, it was good. Nice that you asked me to take a part of this information, because I'm still here, but yeah, I hope everything is okay there in Finland.
as good as it can be during this pandemic. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there seems to be one question. What is your field of study?
Oh, yeah, I study education. Yeah, so I'm going to be a teacher training in here. Yeah.
So to all of you here, so it may be possible to study in English in Spain or in Germany as well, as you've heard today. So you need to check out what the host university offers, if they offer courses in English as well. So it may be possible in other countries as well.
Yes, exactly. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jutta.
Thank you.
And we were supposed to have one other student presenter today, Venni, but I don't see his name here. Yeah, Ven is probably not going to be able to make it today, I'm afraid. But that's okay, because we've heard two wonderful, wonderful stories from Heta and Jutta. So that's, yeah, exactly. Thank you to Heta and Jutta for their wonderful study abroad experiences. We could actually, if we don't have any questions at the moment, I don't see any questions in the chat, we can end this session officially and turn off the recording, and I will stay here for a few more minutes so you can ask me questions if you have more questions about applying for a student exchange.